Your Bible, Mark chapter number 10, verse number 17. I want to read this verse. This is speaking of Jesus, of course, and one coming to him. It says, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?'" Now, there's a lot of scripture that goes along with this to support this. I'm not going to read that scripture, and God willing, we're not going to really be preaching on that scripture. But here's the thought that I want to share with you this morning. I want to preach on eternity. You know, in your Bible, and I'm using the King James Bible, that's what I use, that's what I was raised on, that's what I've memorized, and it still works for me. But in my Bible here, everlasting, the word everlasting is actually in there 97 times. The word eternity, that word in itself, is actually only in your King James Bible one time, and it is in Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15. The word eternal is in there 47 times. One of those is in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27, and it says, "The eternal God is thy refuge." Again, it's written over in Matthew chapter 16, a parallel verse to what we read in Mark chapter number 10. It says, "What good thing must I do that I may have eternal life?" You know, in the 17th verse of the 10th chapter of Mark, he said, "What shall I do?" In Matthew chapter number 19 and 16, he said, "What good thing must I do?" So there are some people who believe that to have eternal life, they've got to do some good thing. There's a song that we sing in the Red Back Hymnal, "Leaning on the Everlasting Arms." Sometimes when I look at the things going on in the world and I look at technology, sometimes technology pushes people away from God. But let's remember what Daniel wrote. He said, "In the last days, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge will be increased." When I look at technology and I look at the things that are going on in the world, especially the things as we begin to look deeper and deeper into outer space, and I'm talking about some of these telescopes that are so popular today, the infrared. When I see them and I see what they're able to see, all it does for me is make me in awe of the majesty of God. That doesn't cause me to doubt God. It doesn't cause me to wonder, you know, have we believed the wrong thing? The truth is, people today constantly are pondering the subject and the question, is there such a thing as eternal life? All the religions of the world, they seek for it, they desire it. Many of them have a means for you to be able to obtain it. Some think they have to work to obtain it. Some will work their fingers to the bone, trying to find a way to be accepted by God. I've seen them going down the road and they ride the bicycles and they've got on the black pants and the white shirts, and they come up in your yard and they knock on the door and they'll try to witness to you about what they believe. And every time I get in conversation with these people, first thing I ask them is, "Do you know? Do you know that you have eternal life? Do you know that you're saved?" You know, it's unfortunate, folks, but most people who are trying to work their way to heaven don't even believe they're going. They don't believe they can be good enough. What does it take? It takes a personal relationship with God. I heard a story, a true story, came out of Australia of a man that believed in eternity. Some people don't believe in eternity. They actually believe that when you die, you're just dead. There's a guy that I worked with for a number of years, and I talked to him occasionally about the Lord, but he made no bones about the fact that he was an atheist, and he did not believe in God. He did not believe in the concept of God. He did not believe that in life after death. He said, "When I die," he said, "I'm going to be just like any other creature. They're going to put me in the ground, and I'm just going to be dead. Some people believe that. Some people believe in eternity. They're just uncertain about what it means or how they can achieve it. There was a man out of Australia. He was called Mr. Eternity. Because everywhere he went, he would actually take a piece of chalk and he would write on the sidewalk the words eternity. He wrote it at the bus station. He wrote it in front of the coffee shop. He wrote it on the sidewalks in front of the stores. Then he started putting signs up with the word eternity to the point that people began to complain. They were even talking about it on the radio stations, and they said, we've got to stop this man from writing these words down, this word eternity. And that's all he would write is just eternity. And you'd go over here and you'd see the word eternity. You'd go over here and you'd see the word eternity. But I tell you what it did. It forced people to think about the concept of life after death. So what are we going to do to stop Mr. Eternity from spreading the word eternity all over our town? You know that people want to stop the spreading of the word of Jesus Christ all over town today? It's okay for you to be anything in the world that you want to be, and there is acceptance of about anything in the world today except for a fundamental Bible-believing Christian that says, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I believe the only way you're going to get to heaven is through Him.
Amen. Amen.
Mr. Eternity wrote everywhere. Kept chalk in his pocket. How do we stop him? But in time, when the rains came and it washed away the chalk on the sidewalk and the posters on the telephone poles begin to fall away, people begin to wonder, what happened? Did they get him stopped? What happened to Mr. Eternity? But in time, they found out that Mr. Eternity had died. And Mr. Eternity had stepped out into eternity. You see, the reality of it is, every one of us is going to die. I've heard it said that the only two things in life that you are absolutely certain are taxes and death. Well, you can get out of paying taxes, but you're not going to live forever.
Amen.
You know, it's amazing to me as I stand here before you today and I look at my own life and I see how fast that is progressing and moving and going by. And the older I get, it seems like the faster that it moves. In the book of Psalms, chapter 90, in verse 12, the psalmist wrote, he said, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I've often thought of life if it were like this. You've seen those calendars where every day you peel off a page. I've got some that are devotional calendars, and sometimes it's really good, and I might stick it on the wall for a while. But you know, have you ever thought about if I had that calendar and that was a calendar of my life, would I be willing to cheat and look and see what the last day would be? Would I want to know? Would I want to know how much time that I have left on this earth? You know, here's one thing for certain, is there's going to come an end. There's going to come an end to this life, and we're going to step out into eternity, and we're going to stand before God. You see, the word eternal, according to Webster's, is having infinite duration, everlasting, characterized by abiding fellowship with God. Now, folks, that's optimistic. Here's what I want you to understand, and I've got some things I want to share with you. Not every person is going to spend eternity in the fellowship of God. Not every person is going to go to heaven. Because the reality of it is today is not every person wants to go to heaven. Not every person believes in God, nor are they willing, whether they come publicly and pray in an altar or even pray at home in a closet, to acknowledge that there is a Creator God and bow before Him and let Him allow Him to be Lord of their life. They just don't want it. They don't believe it. They don't want nothing to do with it. There's nothing I can do as a preacher for a person who lives that kind of life when they reach the end of their life and it comes time for their funeral, for their family to look at me and me be able to give them some hope. As I was studying and preparing for this message this week, I thought of a friend of mine that passed away several years ago. He did not believe in God. He did not want anything to do with God. If the subject come up, he would do everything he could to mock you, to try to make you feel small for believing in God. That's the kind of character that he had. When he passed away and it was time for his funeral, and by the way, everybody's going to have one, his family looked at the young man that they asked to speak because he was believed in God. He said, now, we don't want you to speak at his funeral, but here's one thing we want you to understand. We don't want you to mention God's name. We don't want you to say nothing about God because he didn't believe in that stuff, and we're not going to put it on him now. How do you have a funeral if there's no hope in eternal life? And my friend told me, he said, I got up and I was so broken and I tried to talk about hope, but I didn't know how to give them hope because there was no hope in God, because he didn't believe in God. He didn't want God. They didn't want nothing to do with God. Let me tell you something. Eternity is a long, long time to be wrong. So where are two things that are eternal? Two. There is eternal life. The Bible talks about it. There is also eternal damnation. Eternal punishment or separation from God. Well, what about the question of eternal life? In Job chapter 14, verse 14, the scripture says this. If a man die, shall he live again? Job, oldest book in the Bible, many believe. And then here's what he wrote. He said, all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change comes. Sometimes when we think about eternity and we look at the concept of life as we know it here, I want you to understand that our life, the Bible says in one place, it's a vapor. It's just a very small segment of sand. But eternity is as far as two points can possibly be. Impossible, really, for our minds to even comprehend. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51, Paul wrote, he said, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. You know, as Christians, we believe that Jesus Christ is coming back to get his church, and that's going to be the beginning of what we call eternity for us as Christians. Now, the question, is there life after death? Is this all there is? Does what I do really matter? Here's what I believe. I believe that what you do matters today, but it not only matters for today, it matters for eternity. Sometimes when I begin to think about our loved ones, and I actually read the board back right outside the door that has the number of people that have been members of Hiram First Baptist Church that have died and gone out into eternity since this church has been constituted. And I look at those people. Here's what I want you to understand. Everything that they did, it mattered. Their life, it mattered. Our relationship with them, it mattered. Because for those that are saved by the grace of God, we will step out into eternity. We will see them. The Bible says that we will know as we are known. We're going to be able to rejoice with our families. Yes, I want to see Jesus, but let's just be honest. I want to see my family. I want to see my dad. I want to see my mom. I want to see my sister. I want to see all those preachers, teachers, Sunday school teachers that have gone on before me. You got questions? We're going to have time to talk about it. In the book of Job, chapter number 14, he said, all the days of my appointed time I will wait till my change come. And then in the latter part of that, going into the 15th verse, he said, thou shalt call and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thy hands. What is that? That's God calling his child home. If you go through the Old Testament, there was a man, his name was Enoch. It says Enoch walked with God and he was not. Can you imagine having such a relationship with God that God looks down at you and he says, just come on up here with me? You know, there have been times, and I will say really in the last year, that I've questioned God. I say, God, why did this person have to go? God, don't you know that we needed them? God, don't you know that we wanted them? And it's like the Holy Spirit just spoke to me, and God said, well, I wanted them up here with me. That's what happened right here. He said, thou wilt have a desire to the work of thy hands. That's when God says, come on up here with me. What about the story of the prophet Elijah when he's there and he's got Elisha with him and he says, if you can go with me until the Lord calls me, that you required, the double portion is going to be granted you. There was a fire come down in a whirlwind, took that man up to be with God. I want to tell you something. The people of God are one day going to go home to be with God for eternity. Now, there's a question of eternal life. Is there really such a thing? What about the hope? Here's what we have as Christians. There is hope of eternal life. Again, in the book of Job, chapter 14, 7th verse, it says, for there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again. And the tender branch thereof will not cease, though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. You know, I don't understand everything exactly about what the resurrection is going to be like. But the Bible does say in the book of Thessalonians that those who are asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. God's going to be able to bring everything together, because remember, you and I have a hard time understanding it, but how did God take a lump of clay and create a man? How did God in his infinite power reach down and touch a little girl so that she could be with child of a virgin? I'll tell you how. He's God and we're not. Paul wrote in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, he said, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. There's several verses here, and I just want you to see these. You can go back and read the whole context, but in Titus chapter 3, verse 7, he says, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, here's the hope. Because Jesus lives, we can live. Have you ever thought about what it would have been like when Jesus was standing there before the tomb of Lazarus? If he had not said, Lazarus, come forth, and he just said, y'all, southern word, y'all come forth. He showed us a picture of what he can do. Because he lives, we can live. What about the desire of eternal life? There was one who came to him, we read about, one running in Mark 10, 17. But then if we go to Luke chapter 10, verse number 25, here's a lawyer, educated, wise, man of understanding supposedly, stood up and tempted Jesus saying, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Mocking in a certain sense. Have you seen those kind? What are people going to do in eternity when they stand before God after mocking God, realizing that this life's not the end? Don't you know the Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father? Have you ever watched these liberal newscast shows where they get on there and they make a mockery of anything at all? And a lot of times that you and I are going to stand up and say that we believe in. One day they're going to bow. One day they're going to bow before God, and when they do, the Bible says that over in the book of Revelation, it says this, there'll come a time when they'll seek to hide from his face, and they'll cry out that the rocks and the mountains will fall on them. There's going to be no hiding from the Lord in that great day. Luke chapter 18, verse 18, there was a certain ruler that came and asked him, saying this, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Why? Why eternal life? To live forever. You know, sometimes when I think about eternal life, I want to be eternal with the Lord, but I'm looking for some things. I'm looking for some new joints. I'm looking for some new eyes. You know, sometimes when people think about heaven, you know, we've all got our desires and things that we like. And there's a country song that my son plays for me sometimes called The Outskirts of Heaven. It talks about the fields and it talks about the mountains. I want to tell you something. I believe that the Bible says in Psalms 37, if you delight yourself in the Lord, He'll also give you the desires of your heart. There's going to be whatever the hearts can desire is going to be in heaven. All the good without the evil. That's what I believe. And I believe when you get there as a Christian, you're going to be absolutely 110% satisfied. And you're not going to say, I thought it'd be this way, I thought it'd be that way. You're going to be overwhelmed by what God has. Why do we want to go to heaven? To live forever. To see our loved ones. To see our Lord. Some people don't want to go to heaven to see the Lord. I've heard people make flippant comments and say, well, if I go to hell, I won't be alone. All my old friends will be there. It's not going to be that way. You know, we got to understand that if you start to begin to think about eternal damnation, you can think about it in a lot of different ways. And the Bible gives you a lot of different pictures about damnation. It's eternal separation from God. Without the presence of God, without the knowledge of God, without the voice of God, it could be like the rich man who was over there to lift his eyes in hell. It's eternal separation from your loved ones. Eternal separation from peace. And you say, well, I just don't understand that. I don't understand it either, but there's a whole lot of Bible that talks about it. What about the promise of eternal life? 1 John chapter 2, verse 25 says, this is the promise that He, Jesus, hath promised us, even eternal life. And then in John chapter 3, those familiar verses, says that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Right there two times. Now how? It's through the person. You know there is a person of eternal life, and His name is Jesus. And it says that in 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. It says this, this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son, in Jesus. And if we come through Jesus Christ, here's the good thing. And you know, sometimes we talk about God's not changed. Let me tell you the great thing about the fact that God's not changed is that verse of Scripture right there has not changed. You know, sometimes I think if we would get up here and preach that if you could do this and you could do that and you could perform this way, we might have more people wanting to try to sign up to go to heaven or be a Christian rather than if we tell them all you got to do is believe and receive and commit your life to Christ. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, it says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Then in 1 John 5, 20, it says, we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Then in the book of John, chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus said, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me. You know, I read a lot of Scripture there, but here's what I want you to understand. All the Scripture points back to Jesus. It says eternal life comes through Him. So it said there are two things that are eternal. One is eternal life, the other is eternal damnation. I want to give you just a few verses for that. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the Scripture says this, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, if we go over to Matthew chapter number 25, what is damnation? Damnation is separation or is judgment. In the book of Matthew chapter number 25, I want to read just a couple of verses. Just for time, I can't read the full context of this scripture, but I want to read the 31st verse. And this is Jesus Christ speaking, and he's speaking about the judgment on the nations. It says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all his holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. I saw one of those church signs a few years ago. It was down in Mableton. And it basically had a reference right out of this 32nd verse. And what it said was, you cannot live like a goat and die like a lamb. Now, that's a strong statement. Sometimes people get mad. They say, oh, you shouldn't say that. Folks, I tell y'all what we should do. We should believe God's word. We should read God's word, and we should receive God's word while we have time. The 41st verse says this, and then shall he say to them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. But listen to the last part of the verse, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now here's the thing to understand about hell and the degrees of hell. Is hell's never created for you. It's never created for any person. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I believe God wants every person to be saved. But there are some people that absolutely mock and say, I don't want nothing to do with that. I don't believe that. I don't want that. You know, I don't know what you believe, but you didn't come from nowhere. And you're going somewhere. You see, the 46th verse says this. It says, and these shall go into everlasting punishment, but the righteousness into life eternal. Now that's a strong verse. So what is eternal? It says everlasting punishment or life eternal. You see, the question of eternal damnation, is it certain? It is, according to God's word. Is it everlasting? Well, folks, the Bible says it is according to God's word. Now I want to go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and read just three verses. This is Paul as he wrote to Silvanus and Timothy in the church of Thessalonica. And he's trying to encourage them in persecution, and he's trying to remind them of the promise. And then the seventh verse, it says, unto you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and they that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. I didn't write that, but I found it in there, and I believe God wanted me to read it. You know, we need a correct view of life after death. In this nation today, and I believe it's common around the world, but it's very common in this nation. It's common in the military. We've had one of our young men share with Brother Allen and I about how that suicide is at epidemic levels. It's so bad that they're concerned about it, they're worried about it. You know, it's a reality. As we see here today and we're in church together and we're worshiping the Lord, the reality of it is we'd never want anybody to know sometimes even about the thoughts that we've had ourselves. We'd never want anybody to know about how close that we've come or about the times in our life when things were so bad we just didn't think there was a way out. But I mean, here's something that I want you to understand this morning. Suicide's not the end. Because when you die on this life and you open your eyes, you open them in eternity. You think, well, I want to get away from this problem, or I want to get away from this stress, or I want to get away from what's ailing me, or I want to get away from this trouble in my life. I want to get away from these people. I'm tired of being bullied. I'm tired of being put down. I'm tired of being in pain. I want to tell you something. Eternity is out in front of us. And if we want to prepare for eternity, we need to learn how to honor God in the life that we live today, whether it goes the way that we want it to or not. Because death is not the end. You see, what the Bible says very clearly, and I've given you as much Bible as I can in the time that we have this morning, is that the lost go into everlasting punishment and the saved go into eternal life. But can I also tell you that the Bible talks about the fruits that we have as Christians, that we build upon the foundation that God has given us. The Bible says some with hay, some with wood, some with stubble, some with precious stones, some with silver, some with gold. What's that talking about? That's talking about the life that you live. The more that's given to you by God, the more is required to you. The last thing we want is to stand before God ashamed. Because we've not fulfilled the will of God for us on this life. You know, what our heart's desire would be is we would stand before God and we would hear Him say, "Enter in, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of the Lord." And here's what I want you to understand. Even in our worst day, this life is a vapor. It's a grain of sand compared to eternity. Last week, I come in from work, and my wife had the Facebook, and she had our little granddaughter. My granddaughter's 3 years old. She knows how to FaceTime Nana. She's starting school, 3.5 years old, and I was amazed that she wanted to tell us what she was going to wear. And I told her, "Mama," I said, "your day is coming." I said, if she's 3 years old and she's already got her dress picked out, and her mama said, "Well, I don't know where that's at. I don't know what she thinks she's going to wear." I said, "I know what she's going to wear. Because about midnight, you're going to be finding it." And, you know, I said that to say this. I watched it and I looked at it and I sat there and I pondered, where did the time go? You know, not just that, but my daughter, she's 31. Where did the time go? Then I look at, you know, since we've been at this church, y'all remember when I stood right here and Luke stood behind me and he was about to talk. Where did the time go? I think about the people in this church that spent your life with the love of your life. Sometimes married 20, 30, 40, 50 years. I've done funerals since I've been at this church of people who were married over 60 years. You know what they said? Where did the time go? Our concept of time and our understanding is limited. And what we need to understand with a correct view of life after death is we are created by God in the image of God for the purpose of God. That's why you're on this earth. It doesn't mean that you have to be a preacher. You have to be a deacon. You have to be a teacher like somebody else. But the reason you're here on this earth is for your life to honor and glorify God. And what God wants to do is not turn you into something that nobody will recognize, but to help you be the very best you that you can be so that you can step into eternity with God and God can get glory from your life. The greatest attribute of God is His glory, and His love comes out of His glory. Amen. The correct view of life and death is this is not the end. Because when we leave this life, we'll go somewhere. Now, I want us to consider for just a minute, we're going to have a song, the dread of eternal damnation. You know, there are some people believe that there are degrees of blessings in heaven. There's some teaching for that. There's five crowns. You can study about those. You can study about what happens when your life honors and glorifies the Lord and how we're going to lay our crowns at His feet.
But have you ever thought about what happens to a person that just absolutely wants nothing to do with God? Sometimes people say, well, God's so gracious, maybe right at the end, God will just let everybody in. Some people don't want Him. I've seen people shake their fist at God, curse God, deny God. In the book of Psalms, David said that he hated the enemies of God. You know God has enemies today? Enemies of God want to stop preachers like me. And He wants to stop Christians like you. And He wants to tell you what you can and cannot teach your children. He wants to tell you when you can or cannot take biblical principles and build a foundation of your home on them. See, till Jesus comes, the enemy will never be satisfied with just being accepted where they are. Now, if we look at the condition of the world and we look at people that reject God, and we know that hell was not created for you or me, but it was created for the devil and his angels. All the wicked and the creation of wickedness. Where else is God going to put people that say, God, I don't want nothing to do with you. Get out of my life. I want the Lord in my life. And I want the Lord in my life more today than ever, because one thing I've realized is without Him, I can't do nothing. I can't make it. Brother Jeff, I can't solve my own problems. I can't fix things. But if I walk with Him and I talk with Him and I surrender to Him, all I really want Him to do is help me be the best me that I can be. You see, I've already said when I look at that telescope, I was amazed. I thought, God, how great you are, how big you are. I can only imagine, you know the song? I can only imagine, God, what you got prepared in eternity for us. When our minds are bigger and we can fathom it. When our hearts can hold more. And it just makes me think of the greatness of God. I'm going to ask you to rise to your feet. I've delivered what God has put on my heart. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, the greatest thing you'll ever do in your life is to accept Him. You think, well, I don't understand it all. When God knocks at your heart's door and speaks to you through His Holy Spirit and that thumping that you're feeling in your chest, that's God calling you to a relationship with Him. Now's the time to come and just pray and ask God to come into your heart. You don't have to understand everything. You just got to believe and receive. Maybe you're here and you're dealing with something and you're struggling and you just need God to give you strength. God, give me the strength to stand. To stand a little longer, to be what you'd have me to be. And I believe God will do that. Maybe you're here this morning and God spoke to your heart and you'd like to be a part of Hiram First Baptist Church. You'd like to come be a part of this church, you can come down. Miss Tracy, Brother Allen right over here, they've got the forms. You can come two ways. You can come by statement of faith or you can come and be baptized. And we'll be glad to talk to you about that and what that is. But as they play this song, whatever God has spoke to your heart this morning, you know, the greatest thing we can do is be responsive to a loving God that cares for us. So as they play the song and you'd like to pray, would you please come?